Welcome to the See You Next Summer podcast, and today I am joined with, or I'm always joined with this guy, the Anakin to my Obi-Wan, I suppose. And we don't have a special guest today because unfortunately our guests, the scheduling just didn't work out, but the episode we are covering today, Raul, it's a pretty big one.
Yes.
You wanna say what it is?
The best fucking prequel of all time. Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. From my point of view, the Jedi are evil. Where you have lost? Hello there.
Oh,
Peter Kenobi, are the bold one. Get him.
Oh, there are... Every line in this movie is nearly perfect. Simply because I know most of this movie because of the memes.
Yes.
And because I grew up with it.
My powers have grown double.
Before we start,
since the last time we met, Khan, good, 'twas the pride, double the fall.
We're just getting them all out of the way in the first minute.
Yes.
Yeah. Before we start our long recap, because I don't know how we're going to do this, it'll probably be the same length as we always do, but What was your experience watching Star Wars Episode 3? In theaters, if you saw it in theaters.
Yes, I did. It was 2005. I remember a few months earlier waiting an hour for QuickTime to preload the teaser. I waited an hour. Me and myself was like, let's go and clean and everything, watch the teaser. And I love because it's the Obi-Wan narration of how Darth Vader was created in the Clone Wars. And you see those scenes from Revenge of the Sith. And so I was like, oh my God. And then I remember buying the tickets like a month before, and it was in this beautiful theater that has like leather seats, but they were not reserved seats. You had to still make a line to get the best seat that you wanted to. And so we made the line 2 hours before. My parents were chilling at a casino while me and my sister were waiting, and they brought, of course, candy and everything, but still so many people were so excited and so hyped. And we got in. I still remember watching the last trailer before the movie started. And I was like, oh my God, I have waited since 97 to 2005, 8 years to see the finale. Because back then in 2005, George Lucas said, this is the last one. That's it. Because also he was angry with how fanboys reacted to the prequels and all of that. And I'm like, I was so excited, but also I was kind of sad because that's going to be the last Star Wars movie I'm going to see in theaters. And my parents were like, we have been waiting for almost 40 years for the end of Star Wars. They were so excited too. And when the movie started, since that moment, that first shot of those cruisers and all of the attack on Coruscant, I knew that I was going to love this movie. And all of the fight scenes, and when Anakin cuts Dooku's head, and I'm like, oh, this is not the Star Wars for children. If George is like, this is my last one, you're going to see some violence. And I'm like, yes, George, give me.
I think that really helps the PG-13 rating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's justified in this case. And it's nothing like outright, like, R.
No, it's kind of like a Marvel-y kind of violent.
But there's a good amount of violence, and there are certainly dark moments.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
And Mr. Skywalker, there's too many of them. What are we going to do?
We'll get there. But yeah. Yes.
But when the movie ended, I was crying so much. I remember the audience reacting to Darth Vader breathing for the first time. And
I bet everybody just was either in total silence and shock.
It wasn't silence.
Or it was either that or it was just like utter pandemonium.
Yes.
It has to be one of those reactions because I could, as a kid, I didn't get to see this in theaters, unfortunately.
Yeah, you were like 7, right? 7 or 8?
I was 9.
Damn.
I was 9 years old.
I was 16.
Oh my gosh.
I was in high school already.
You were the perfect age. I couldn't see the movie on my own. Are you kidding me? 9-year-old kid? I did end up seeing the movie first on a pirated DVD, because remember, DVDs were a thing. And actually pretty good quality. It wasn't like somebody in the theater recording it or whatever. It was actually like
the best ones.
It was like DVD quality somehow. I don't know how, but yeah, that was how I saw it. Snippets for the first time. But then, of course, for my birthday, I got, or not for my birthday, but I asked, hey, can I get the DVD for episode 3? Because I had learned about all like the behind the scenes stuff and all that shit, and I just wanted to binge it. And I did, and that was like one of the first DVDs where I actually paid attention to the special features, audio commentary, all that stuff. And this is the Star Wars movie I have watched the most. As much as the original is my favorite, I will say that this is definitely not only one of my favorite Star Wars movies, this is one of my favorite movies. So this is a big, big episode for me personally. Like, The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, they're great, but for different reasons. This one, legitimately, I can put this on and I will feel much better by the end of it.
No.
It's so weird because it's the last chapter, but...
No, it's because this movie is like a... Remember that I said in episode 2, it felt like an American soap opera? This one is a Mexican telenovela. There's fucking people burning, betrayals, political betrayals, pregnancies, surprise pregnancies, heads rolling. Then it's a Mexican telenovela. George is like, I'm going to make it a Mexican telenovela on this one.
So, a long time ago, General Kenobi. We'll get there. Anyway, let's do the opening crawl. War! The Republic is crumbling under attacks by the ruthless Sith Lord, Count Dooku. There are heroes on both sides. Evil is everywhere. In a stunning move, the fiendish droid leader, General Grievous, has swept into the Republic capital and kidnapped Chancellor Palpatine, leader of the Galactic Senate. As the separatist droid army attempts to flee the besieged capital with their valuable hostage, two Jedi Knights lead a desperate mission to rescue the captive Chancellor. We see this incredible shot of the Venator coming in, and then two Jedi starfighters. They do some sweet moves, and then it cuts. You follow them, and it's down, and it's all these ships blasting. Yes. There's so much shit happening on screen. Because this is the Battle of Coruscant.
And fucking amazing starter. Especially because if you saw the Jendi Tartoski's Clone Wars, that's it ended exactly of Palpatine getting kidnapped and his ship going up and the battle was starting, and exactly episode 3 started that way. So for me, watching those episodes at midnight and then watching the movie on Monday, I was like, oh my god, exactly when the show ended. And it was fucking amazing.
Yes, and Gendy Tartakovsky's Clone Wars. Not the Clone Wars, just Clone Wars. Very underrated. I remember seeing those as a kid, late night on Adults or on Toonami. And yeah, it was great. Anyway, we see Anakin and Obi-Wan. Some time has passed, by the way. Canonically, 3 years have passed. And Anakin... He got a glow up. He got rid of the stupid rat tail. He's got this amazing mullet. And Obi-Wan has got a nice haircut. And
the beard.
The beard has really filled in nice. Just, they both got a glow up. And this is the best they've ever looked. Seriously.
Also the star on Anakin's eye. Because that was a fight, I think, Asajj Ventress. I think that's the name of the character.
In Tartakovsky's
Clone Wars, yes.
Even though now we don't know because it's not canon anymore.
That's right. I forgot that they reckon that show.
They have, unfortunately. But they still have it on Disney Plus. But yes, we get General Grievous' ship is right up ahead. This is going to be easy. And we get these vulture droids coming after him. And... the ARC starfighters, so more clone troopers are coming in to back them up. This is where the fun begins. And it's a big space battle. people die. We actually see a little bit of progression from Anakin when, like, one of the clone pilots is like, they're all over me, and he goes, I'm gonna go help him out. And it's like, Anakin from the last movie, he would have never said that. Mm-hmm. Unless it was Padme. And then they end up, then these little buzz droids come onto their ships, and they are just messing up Obi-Wan, including R4, all right, rest in peace.
Ah, yes. Woo, woo!
And he's just like, move to the right, I'll shoot him off. Pew, pew, shoots off one of the wings. He's just like, stop, hold your fire. You're going to get us both killed. Oh, yeah, and I love the line where Obi-Wan is just like, flying is for droids. He really hates flying.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. But it's, they manage to get into the ship hangar, and as the hangar is closing, because Anakin shoots down the shields, again, showing that he's a great pilot. Just some great air maneuvers, especially from Anakin. He's so flawless, and he really is the best star pilot in the galaxy at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But Obi-Wan says, oh, I've got a bad feeling about this. And then they land. Obi-Wan lands the ship, like, basically crashes it, but then leaps out, draws his lightsaber, and is cutting up battle droids. And then they just cut through them like ribbons. Mm-hmm. Or they cut them into ribbons. And then I'll let you introduce one of the best.
General Grievous?
General Grievous.
He's like... it's canon that General Grievous has COVID. And you see him, that was like... I think he said something about not the engines, but like prepare for attack. And then you see so many of the ships attacking, and then you see so many clones dying. And... it's a really great scene. It's also, we see Obi-Wan and Anakin getting into the elevators, and the elevators get stuck. And I love that. And then I was like, well, we need to make this thing flyable. And then Obi-Wan was like, R2, answer R2. And then you see those two droids. I was like, did you hear that? I was like, R2-D2 was like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, like, and before that, they're just like, oh, the Chancellor is being held here. Mm-hmm. I sense Count Dooku. I sense a trap. What's our next move? Spring the trap.
Yeah. What's the situation, Captain? Just as Count Dooku predicted.
Oh my god. Yeah, they get in the elevator, destroying more droids, of course. And it really shows the contrast between Anakin and Obi-Wan, that Obi-Wan is just patiently waiting, but Anakin's just like, no, screw this. And he just cuts open a hole in the roof, and he just jumps up, always on the move.
Mm-hmm.
And R2 has a comlink, and he's near the fighters, and that's why Obi-Wan is just like, R2, activate elevator 31174. And Anakin ends up having to jump to the edge, and we get some battle droids there, but he's like, no, stop, R2, because the elevator went down, mm-hmm. but they needed to go up. So they do that. Anakin gets back down to the elevator, and he's just like, yeah, hey, no loose wire jokes. I didn't say anything. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't say anything. Really shows that they've gotten like a camaraderie now. Yeah, that they really do like respect each other.
Yeah, the war really united them.
Oh, and it'll totally stay that way. But they end up in the Chancellor's room, and he, of course, he does the evil turn thing in the chair. It's very reminiscent of Return of the Jedi with the whole throne room getup. And
it's poetry, it rhymes.
I knew I was waiting for that.
You always say it. It was my turn. And I also, it's a great shot though, because you see like him, and you see the battle, and it's a big ass window. And then it was like, Chancellor, are you alright? Count Dooku, you will not have a chance against them. He's a Sith Lord. Chancellor Palpatine, Sith Lords, our speciality.
And then we get a fight between Count Dooku, Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
I've been looking forward to this. My powers have doubled since the last time we've met, Count. Good. Twice the pride. Yeah. Double the fall. Then at one point, Palpatine even sees it. He's just like, get! And Dooku manages to...
He's fucking enjoying it. He's fucking chilling.
Oh, yeah. But, like, he's keeping up the appearance, you know, mm-hmm. in front of two Jedi. And Dooku ends up kicking Anakin to one of the walls, is choking Obi-Wan on another, and throws Obi-Wan over the edge
mm-hmm.
and, like, gets a whole section of that room just to collapse onto Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan is knocked unconscious.
No, but it's also surprising. I thought that Dooku crushed his legs because it looks like he crushed his legs. It was like, wow. Obi-Wan is completely normal. It was like he got saved.
And of course, Anakin feeds mm-hmm. into that rage mm-hmm. and really starts just going nuts against Dooku. And then Dooku, at one point, when they're like locking laser swords, lightsabers, he goes, "I sense great fear in you, Skywalker. You have hate. You have anger, but you don't use them." So what does he do? He uses them. Mm-hmm. It's a very quick, it's kind of like a samurai fight.
Yeah.
Honestly, with how many like blows they land.
Mm-hmm.
But Anakin cuts off Dooku's hand, grabs his lightsaber. Dooku's on his knees, mm-hmm. and Anakin has both lightsabers at his throat.
And then Palpatine is like, "Good, Anakin, good. Kill him. Kill him now." Anakin, "I shouldn't. Do it."
Do it.
And the sound of the fucking lasers, the way that you hear them, like,
"You did well, Anakin." Yeah, okay, we know you would say that, Palps. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was like, as a kid, I was like, holy shit, he's mm-hmm. cut his head off. And I never really noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because they made it so that whenever lightsabers cut something off, it immediately cauterizes it, which mm-hmm. would make sense. Except in the first movie when he cut off that guy's arm and he was still bleeding. But they didn't figure out the rules then. That doesn't count.
Yeah,
Anakin is even just like, "I shouldn't have done that. That wasn't the Jedi way."
"It's only natural. He cut off your arm. You want a revenge. It was not the first time, Anakin. Remember what you told me about your mother and the sand people?"
And I love that. Yeah, I love that detail, is that they put the little sand person noise. Like, it's in the back of Anakin's mind.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually some stuff that this movie does that I really like that George Lucas made those calls.
Mm-hmm.
But Anakin, he gets Obi-Wan, and I love that he says, "His fate will be the same as ours."
Yeah.
Which is funny, because they all end up going on, like, a Death Star. Mm-hmm. They all end up dying on a Death Star. Well. We don't
we're gonna get there when we get there. The fuck.
Somehow, don't say the line, but just somehow.
But yeah, also, this is a thing that I want under that line since the first time I saw it. I was like, "Lee Himmel would have never make it," and then Anakin's like, "His fate will be the same as ours." I always thought that Palpatine knew the whole timeline of everything that was gonna happen, so he already having his in his mind like the whole game. What if he, in his mind, he was already preventing Anakin having a fight with Obi-Wan? Kind of like convince Anakin, "No, Lord, leave him there. It will save me some time." And Anakin's like, no, we're going to pick him up. Yeah. I don't know. I always wonder.
I get it. So anyway, the battle rages on and Grievous's ship is starting to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he goes, "Fire the emergency booster engines." Just all of his lines. Just mm-hmm. just the way he talks. He's got, like, this mask on. He's, like, a big cyborg-looking thing. It's there's a reason why people quote General Grievous so much.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going... They're trying to get to the elevator, but they just figure, F it, we're just gonna run down because the ship is at an angle where they can run.
Mm-hmm.
But they stabilize the ship, and they end up sliding down. And then I love that Obi-Wan... is like, he's on Anakin's back and he just wakes up and he's like, oh, yeah.
He's like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, R2 sent the elevator down, so they have to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And Palpatine knew that he could grab onto them. He had that. He had those quick reflexes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're trying to escape, and then Grievous figures out where they are because they're tracking them, and then mm-hmm. he goes,
"Activate ray shields."
Wait a minute. How did this happen? We're smarter than this.
Apparently not.
What's our next move? I say patience. Patience. Yes, R2 will be down here in a minute, and he will get us out. Wow! The sound that R2 makes, also iconic.
Yeah.
And he actually provides some pretty good comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly. But they get caught. And then, oh, I love Obi-Wan. Do you have a plan B?
And then we get to the bridge. And then we see them walking in. Oh, yes. The negotiator. General Kenobi. We've been waiting for you. And then he grabs the lightsaber from a droid. That wasn't much of a rescue. You're welcome. And Anakin.
Anakin Skywalker. I was expecting someone with your reputation to be a little older.
General Grievous, you're surer than I expected.
Jedi scum.
Anakin, try not to upset them.
You have a job to do.
Then the other
your people... lightsabers will make a fine addition to my collection.
Not this time. And this time you won't escape. R2.
He literally just presses every button in his function.
Yes!
He gets Obi-Wan. It provides a distraction so Obi-Wan can reach around while still handcuffed,
mm-hmm.
force pull his lightsaber from Grievous's cloak,
mm-hmm.
use that, and then Anakin does the same thing, force pulls his lightsaber.
Crush them! Make them suffer!
We get a quick fight. Some droids trying to take Palpatine away, but
mm-hmm.
of course Anakin kills them, and then they corner Grievous and his Magna Guards. Those things mm-hmm. are awesome. I thought those sticks, those electric sticks, were amazing. Mm-hmm. I mentioned those because he's cornered by Anakin and Obi-Wan, and he sees the Magna Guard stick because Obi-Wan had taken down two of the guards. And he goes, "You lose, General Kenobi," throws it at the window, uses it to go get sucked out in the vacuum of space, but then mm-hmm. he grapples onto the ship and then manages to get an escape pod.
Mm-hmm. Time to abandon ship!
And he launches all the escape pods.
Yep.
And now that the ship is abandoned and it's basically running on fumes, they gotta go into Coruscant. Because,
mm-hmm.
again, Battle of Coruscant, this is above Coruscant. And so they fly, well, crash down into it.
Mm-hmm.
While entering the atmosphere, half the ship gets detached from it. And mm-hmm. he's like, "We lost something. Not to worry, we are still flying half the ship."
90% of Ewan McGregor's dialogue is gold.
Oh my gosh, he is so sassy.
Yes.
It's like, oh man, Obi-Wan has just been like, he's crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they manage to land while knocking down a pillar somehow. Mm-hmm. And another happy landing. And so Anakin is just like, "Well, we did it." He meets with all the politicians, mm-hmm. including Mace Windu, and he's just like, "Yes, now that Dooku is dead, we're closer to ending the war, but Grievous is still alive,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to continue that war anyway." And Anakin is just like, "Oh, aren't you going to join me with the politicians and stuff?" And he's just like, "Oh no, I'm not too high on politics." And Obi-Wan does point out, he's just like, no, this is your day. You rescued the Chancellor and killed Count Dooku, and you did it all while carrying me unconscious on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And it really shows like that these guys have been through a lot, because he's just like, no, all because of your training. Mm-hmm. Just like, but you owe me one, not for saving your skin for the 9th time, or for the 10th time, 9th time. That business on Kato Nimoidia doesn't count. But then when Anakin is talking to Senator Bail Organa, he sees Padme next to a pillar in the shadows. Like, everybody can see her. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's an open secret at this point that they're married. So he's just like, can you excuse me? Certainly. And then we get the whole Across the Stars thing. And I'll let you describe what happens next.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, Anakin, I miss you so much. And then I was like, and then Anakin leans towards Padme. I was like, no, Anakin, not here. I was like, no, yes, here. I'm tired of all of this. I don't care if they know they're married. But Anakin, I'm a politician. And I was like, I can lose everything, and then you can get a spell. I was like, no. And then I love this, even though you can notice it because of how George directs, but you can see that Natalie Portman did something pretty good here. The way that she shakes her face in fear before she says it. She's like, I'm so afraid, but I'm still going to say it. And again, something wonderful has happened. I was like, I'm pregnant. And I love also the second of fear in Anakin's face. He's like, that's wonderful. And I was like,
yeah, no, he's like really processing this.
Yeah.
And shows it all on his face. Just like, oh shit, I'm going to be, are you going to say the line? Because I know what you're thinking.
I'm gonna be a father.
I am so happy for you.
Everyone, my secret wife is pregnant, and she's gonna have a baby. Mace Windu, Master Yoda, where you at? I'm gonna be a father.
In the Lucas cut, is Jar Jar. Oh, Misa, you're gonna have a baby.
But yeah, she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. Oh my, how he's grown.
Mm-hmm. Classic telenovela trope as surprise pregnancy.
Oh my god, it's such a... I could have told you that. I was just like, where's the close-ups? Because all you need is the close-ups, the dramatic music, and the long, drawn-out one take.
And looking at the screen like this, so sexy. Star Wars, we shall see. We'll be right back after these messages.
But yes, Anakin's just like, we're not going to worry about that. It's a happy moment. The happiest moment of my life. And then we see General Grievous with some... Again, this is some of the... The Revenge of the Sith score, honestly, is flawless for me. I remember majority of the score.
Just General Grievous getting out of the ship. Da, 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 da,
da, da. I kept thinking that they said Palpatine.
Like, yeah.
Palpatine! But yes, he lands on the Utapau system.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a big hologram of Sidious, because that's who he contacts. And he's just like, yes, Lord Sidious, General Grievous, the end of the war is near. Take the leaders to Mustafar. It will be done, my lord. But the loss of Count Dooku, his death was a necessary loss. Soon I will have a new apprentice, one far younger and more powerful. And of course, you get the wipes. We have yet to mention the many, many, many wipes that plague the prequels. Because they are the transitions. I mean, he did a bit in the original trilogy, mm-hmm. but in the prequels,
there's a lot
every transition is a freaking wipe.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And then we get to another romantic moment. Annie, I want to have our baby back at home on Naboo. We could go to the lake where no one would know. He would be safe. I could go early and fix up the baby's room. I know the perfect spot by the gardens. And again, you are so beautiful. It's only because I'm so in love. No, it's because I'm so in love with you. So love has blinded you.
Yeah, if you haven't picked up already, we're just going to be quoting pretty much the entire movie, so you better buckle up. This is gonna be a long ass episode, and
we can skip some scenes, but just like the funny ones, the most dramatic ones,
maybe the memes. But there's a lot of memes.
There's a lot of memes.
Oh my lord, there's so much memes. That's another testament. It's much like the Shrek movies. They're all memes. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
And then Anakin gets a nightmare. He sees Padme saying, Anakin, help me. And she only sees her screaming. Then Anakin wakes up, of course, shirtless.
Looking great, by the way. His robot arm, like his hand, is mm-hmm. much, it's an upgraded for sure. But I was just like, why is he sleeping with that thing? Why is he sleeping with the hand? He's not using it. And it's confirmed. He's got the force.
He can use the force too.
He's with Padme. And it's confirmed in the Star Wars universe that there's a reason why you never see like scantily clad people.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's considered being very naked. So when Anakin is shirtless, it's basically him sleeping naked, even though he is wearing pants and a robe. But there's a reason why men don't really show their chests
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and why Leia in that bikini in the sixth film was so degrading.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely, and I know this because Rian Johnson confirmed it after another iconic scene with The Last Jedi. You know what I'm talking about. You don't need to mention it. It's a wide shot.
Those big tatas. Oh my god. Those knuckers.
But yeah, he's just like, he's pacing and he can't sleep. And then Padme is just like, okay, what's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And he notices the necklace, which this is actually some great connective tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the necklace that he gave her when he first met her in Phantom Menace. And he goes, I remember when I gave this to you. And she's just like, how long is it going to take before we're honest with each other? So you guys haven't been honest with each other in 3 years? Seriously? Mm-hmm. Like, come on. I know you guys have limited time with you guys being in a war and all.
Yeah, and maybe they only have sex like every 3 months and that's it. And they're like, hey.
No, like whenever Anakin gets home, you know they fuck. Like,
oh yeah, of course.
I mean, the passion is just there, right?
Yeah, of course. It's dripping.
But Anakin is just like, look, I'm having dreams like before my mother died. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, and he's just like, you die in childbirth. I love that it shows Padme's character as well. She grabs her stomach and it just goes, and the baby. She's more concerned about the baby than her.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't know. But, I mean, if they find out that you're the father, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Our baby will be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Or is a blessing. And, yes, they are planning on raising this kid. Good for them. But Anakin, of course, he actually does do the Jedi thing. He goes to talk with Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially therapy. And he's just sitting there all cross-legged and he's so small and it's hilarious. But I love the lighting in this.
Yes,
scene.
I was gonna say that.
The lighting on Anakin's face, like half of it is mm-hmm. in the light and the other is in the darkness, like around his eyes,
mm-hmm.
is so good. And Yoda is just like, these premonitions, are they of someone you know
mm-hmm.
close to you? And he goes, what are they? And Anakin goes, they're of pain and suffering. And he goes, careful, Anakin, the fear of loss is a path to the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is. And he goes, basically fuck your feelings, because rejoice in whoever is going to join in the force.
Mm-hmm.
Mourn them, do not. Miss them, do not. And attachment leads to jealousy, the shadow mm-hmm. of greed, that is.
Yeah.
You must train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose. And we know he can never do that, because we've seen multiple times in this trilogy, Anakin can't accept change,
mm-hmm.
good or bad. And but then he goes to another father figure in Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
He talks with him, and Palpatine, of course, is just grooming him. He's just like, "You are the best Jedi I've ever known." And he goes, "I hope you trust me." I wouldn't,
mm-hmm.
honestly, like how he says certain things. But you can understand why Anakin would, because he's known him since he was a small boy, and he's mm-hmm. always just told him what he wanted to hear,
mm-hmm.
basically, and plays into his insecurities, and acting like he actually cares, all that stuff. And because of that, he is appointing him as his personal representative on the Jedi Council. I'm overwhelmed.
Master?
He sounds very overwhelmed.
Yeah, they will never accept this. And then we go to see... Then I think this is the next scene where we cut out to in the temple. And then
it's the council meeting.
Yeah, the council meeting. I was like, unusual what Count Chancellor Palpatine has like pointed out. And then Mace Windu was like, you can sit on this council, but we do not grant you the rank of master. What? How can you do this? This is outrageous. It's unfair. How can you be on the council and not to be a master in Mace Windu? Take a seat, young Skywalker.
It's unfair. How could you be on the council and mm-hmm. not be a master? Oh. But then they're just going back to council business. And
but what about the attack on the Wookiees?
What about the droid attack on the Wookiees? Ki-Adi Mundi. Oh, Master Dickhead, as he's known as, because he has a very phallic-shaped head.
Mm-hmm.
And then Yoda, go with them, I will. Good relations with the Wookiees I have.
What kind of relations, I ask?
Well, he is 900 years old, so he's probably been around most of the galaxy. So, yeah. Then Anakin and Obi-Wan talk about Anakin's appointment, and mm-hmm. he's just like, Anakin, you've been given a great honor. To be on the council at your age, this has never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
Just like not granting me the rank of master. You gotta understand that Anakin is 22 at this time, because he was 9 in the first movie. And then 19, and it's mm-hmm. been 3 years since. So, yes, he is extremely young.
He just got out from the college and he wants to be a CEO. That's not going to happen that quick.
It's true. But Obi-Wan is also like, look, the only reason why you're on the council in the first place is because of your relationship with Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
The Jedi Council doesn't like when Palpatine meddles in Jedi affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And he even tells Anakin, he's just like, use your feelings. Something about this isn't right.
Especially with all of the security power that he has, and he already passed his term. Palpatine has passed his term, but
yeah, he's still there because he has managed to stay in office long after his term expired.
Mm-hmm. Not topical at all, George.
Yeah. Oh, I think this was also when... I don't know if the scene with Padme talking about the corruption in the Senate happens.
I think it's a little after. I think after this one, because then Obi-Wan says,
because after he's just like
on all the Chancellor's dealings, and then Anakin was
they
like,
"Want him to spy?
That's treason. We're at war, Anakin. The Jedi Council is worn upon the principles of the Republic, even if the Chancellor does not. Why didn't the Council give me this as a warning session? This assignment is not to be on record." And I'm like, this is pretty interesting, especially like because they're taking advantage, like you said, about the relationship that they both have. And it's kind of like...
Yeah, and Anakin feels like, he's just like, why didn't you tell me this?
Mm-hmm.
Or he's just like, why are you asking this of me?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I'm not. The council is.
And he even was opposing. Obi-Wan didn't want Anakin in that position.
Because he knows how much this will hurt Anakin,
mm-hmm.
and how it feels like a betrayal for him.
Yeah.
And he also realizes how frustrated Anakin is going to get with that. Because, yeah, you've been told to spy on a mentor, a friend, a father figure. And, yeah, I mean, the Jedi's concerns are justified, especially since Palpatine makes it no secret. That's another open secret. Everybody knows. We know that he's Darth Sidious.
Yeah.
I told you before, I figured it out when I was 9.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there were some children in episode 2 who was like,
irony of that statement. Anyway, Anakin is home and he is talking with Padme and just letting out his frustrations. Mm-hmm. And they're out on their awesome patio deck and stuff. I love that they have an apartment as well. And that nobody just questions why Anakin is living with Padme.
I think maybe Anakin has another apartment on the side, but that they don't know that he's chilling with Padme on her apartment.
Yeah, because it's clearly hers.
Yeah. Anakin she's doesn't have that kind of money.
Yeah, he's a monk. But Padme is just like, hey, you ever think that we're on the wrong side of this war? I mean, think about it.
It's a great line. It says, what if the democracy we thought we were serving no longer exists and the Republic has become the very evil we have been fighting to destroy?
You're starting to sound like a separatist. Well, of course, you wouldn't see that, Anakin. You're blind. Your loyalty to the Chancellor makes you blind to the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another just... It's part of the tragic story that is of Anakin Skywalker. And... Then we also get hold me like you did on Naboo. There was no politics, no war. And he just looks, he's looking out over. I love how tall he is compared to her as well. He is a full head taller than her. Hmm. And that I think that's funny.
And then we get to
the best scene.
The best fucking scene in the whole movie.
I think not just of this movie, just in one of the best scenes in Star Wars.
Yes.
I'll let you do this to set up, and then, of course, we will reenact it.
Yeah.
You can either be Palpatine or Anakin. I am fine with Anakin.
Okay. I think I can do Palpatine on this one. And you see Anakin running, getting to the opera. We see George, and I forgot the name of his daughter, that they have kind of like a little cameo.
Right outside the Chancellor's box, because they're at the Opera House, there's a cameo with George Lucas. He's all in blue and stuff. And you're right. The person he was talking to was his daughter.
Also, we skipped that the Millennium Falcon has a quick cameo when they arrive back to Coruscant.
Oh, no, was this when Obi-Wan talks with Mace Windu and Yoda about
Anakin? No, it's when... when they're talking about this is the 9th time I can say no, the 8th time. So before they say that, you see the Millennium Falcon parking.
Oh yeah, that's true. Dang, yeah. I always try to look for that. Yeah, I always forget where.
And so we see Anakin walking into the Chancellor's box, and we only see kind of like a big bubble, and we hear like. And then we see Anakin sitting down, and we see Sekama, and then Palpatine was like, oh, yeah, sit down. And he's like, leave us. And then I was like, Palpatine was like, Anakin, you know I'm not able to rely on the Jedi Council. If they have any credit in their plot, soon they will. And I was like, you must sense that I have come to suspect the Jedi Council will control the Republic. They're planning to
betray
me.
I don't think... Mm-hmm. Anakin,
search your feelings. You know, don't you? I know that they don't trust you, or the Senate, or the Republic, or democracy, or that matter.
I will admit that my faith in the Council has shaken.
Why? They asked you to do something that will make you feel dishonest, didn't they?
They asked you to spy on me.
Me. Didn't they? Remember back to your early teachings, Anakin. All those who gain power are afraid to lose it, even the Jedi. He lives his Palpatine voice, even the Jedi.
He does, and he's just like, The Sith and the Jedi are alike in almost every way.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anakin's like, but the Jedi are good. Good is a point of view, Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
You could literally say that about anything.
Yeah.
But the Sith rely on their passion for their strength. They think inwards only about themselves.
And the Jedi don't.
First evil turn.
Mm-hmm.
The Jedi are selfless. They think of others. And I forget the rest of it. Mm-hmm. But then we get into the most legendary monologue.
Yes.
Anakin, have you ever heard of the tragedy of Darth Plagueis
the Wise? No, I thought not. It's not a story that the Jedi will tell you. It's a Sith legend. Darth Plagueis was a Dark Lord of the Sith. So powerful and so wise. He could use the Force to influence the midichlorians to create life. He has such a knowledge of the dark side that he couldn't even keep the ones he cared about from dying.
He could actually save people from death.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
Second evil turn?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. It was from the ones he cared about, from dying looks.
Yeah, two. Wink. Then he became so powerful, the only thing he was afraid of was losing his power, which eventually he did. Unfortunately, he taught his apprentice everything he knew. Then his apprentice killed him in his sleep. And then his mouth, ironic. He could save others from dying, but not himself.
Is it possible to learn this power?
Not from a Jedi.
Final evil turn. Oh yeah, and we did skip the scene where Obi-Wan and Mace Windu are dropping Yoda off to go to Kashyyyk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, Obi-Wan's just like, yeah, Anakin didn't take too well to the assignment. And Mace Windu is just like, I don't trust him. Because he correctly assumes that Anakin is too close to the council, or he's too close to Palpatine and is obviously biased.
Mm-hmm.
So Obi-Wan's just like, you know he's the chosen one, right? He is supposed to bring balance to the Force. So the prophecy says.
Mm-hmm.
Prophecy misread could have been. And then they drop Yoda off. And then, I only mention this because then we cut to Kashyyyk and we see all the Wookiees.
Yes. So many Wookiees.
And they're preparing for a battle. Because it's a critical battle from what we can tell. With all the clones and the different gear, these incredible, like, big tank-looking things that we saw in Coruscant. You saw that they were really getting their defenses ready.
Mm-hmm.
They're having another meeting. Oh, yeah, and we learned where General Grievous was because Palpatine is just like, oh, yeah, our clone intelligence found something. He's hiding on the Utapau system.
Mm-hmm.
And then they discuss, okay, who's going to go after Grievous? And then Anakin, well, the Chancellor thinks that I should do it.
Mm-hmm.
The Jedi decide who, I think it was Mace Windu who was just like, the Jedi decide what goes on, not the Chancellor.
Mm-hmm.
So they send a more experienced fighter, Master Kenobi, which is really, like, if they had just said, hey, why don't we just get Obi-Wan? Instead of just, like, a more experienced fighter, it's like, really? Anakin's just been through as many battles as Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
If not more. If you've seen the Clone Wars, you know this to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Obi-Wan is chosen to go to Utapau, and Anakin, of course, is just further drives in the wedge of between him and the Jedi. Because Palpatine knew if he had put Anakin in this place of power that they would not trust him with it. And unknowingly, he's creating a divide and altering his point of view. So it's actually a brilliant move on Palpatine's part.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Anakin is a little upset at first, but then I believe this is when he sees Obi-Wan off and he goes, "I've disappointed you, Master. I haven't been appreciative of your teachings. Mm-hmm. I've been arrogant, and I'm sorry." And he's just like, "I want to apologize." Which really shows some maturity on Anakin's level. Again, Anakin from the last movie never would have done this. He was too proud. But now, some time has passed, he really has matured so much. And Obi-Wan goes, "You are strong and wise, and I am very proud of you. I've trained you since you were a small boy, and you have grown into a more powerful Jedi than I could ever hope to be. But be patient. It won't be long before they make you a master." And I really do love this because Obi-Wan is encouraging and he really does sincerely mean what he is saying. Mm-hmm. And he appreciates Anakin doing this because that shows the qualities of a Jedi, or at least what they are supposed to be. And what's so sad about this is that this is the last time that they see each other before the big turn of events. And he goes, "Goodbye, old friend. May the Force be with you." After that, what do we have?
I think this is when Obi-Wan gets to Utapau.
Yep, he goes to Utapau. And he sneaks in, meets the officials. And then the officials are just like, he's here. They've taken us hostage. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, 10th level, thousands of battle droids. If you have warriors, now is the time. Mm-hmm. And he gets his Jedi fighter to take off. And the Magna Guards know that Obi-Wan is there. Mm-hmm. So they are anticipating him. But Obi-Wan still thinks he can fool them. And he's riding a big lizard. And then he happens to come across the Separatist meeting with all the Separatist leaders. And Grievous basically saying, "I am sending you to the Mustafar system. You will be safe there." And of course, Nuke Gunray is just objecting.
Of course.
He's just like, "Your ship awaits." And they get on the ship and they go off to Mustafar. We'll get to Mustafar.
Oh my god.
But Obi-Wan has also called in his... we saw earlier before this that Obi-Wan is just like, "Hey, don't come in until I tell you so." Mm-hmm. Or until I give the signal. And I guess the signal was...
oh my god.
Of course, he takes off his robe. Disrobes. Yes. Again, that's just a Jedi thing. Why even have the robe? If you're just going to keep it on.
You'll have a dramatic entrance.
Doo-doo!
Hello there!
"General Kenobi, you are a bold one. Kill him."
And the way the pose that Obi-Wan does, I was like, oh my god, yes! And then Obi-Wan faces those droids, and then Jericho was like, "Back away! I will deal with this Jedi Sly myself. Your move, fool! I have been training your Jedi arts by Khan Hadouku." And then he gets four arms and then two green lights. I was like, fuck!
Oh, like, when he has the multiple arms?
Yes. This is the reaction in the Mexican theater. No mames! So many people were like, whoa!
I couldn't believe that. And I love that Obi-Wan doesn't react at all. But that's just because he wasn't told to react. He should have, because he was looking at green screen. And then Grievous takes two of the arms and his hands start rotating full 360. And then he starts cutting a pathway like to Obi-Wan. And also, I love that Obi-Wan did the pose.
Yes.
It It's his famous pose. Mm-hmm. And that he defeated the Magna Guards. He just took like a big ass thing from the ceiling and then just, it's the Indiana Jones thing. It's like, why would I need to fight these guys when I could just use the force and drop this big anvil thing?
Yeah.
Because originally there was supposed to be a long choreographed fight, but George Lucas was like, nah, we'll save that for later.
Release the Lucas cut.
The supposed 4-hour cut of this movie. Yes. I could only imagine. I've seen the deleted scenes and they're deleted for a reason. Like, Anakin speaks droid. It's weird.
Damn.
But then he fights he fights Grievous for a bit, cuts off two of his hands, and then the clones come in.
Great entrance. Pew, 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 pew,
pew. Awesome entrance where they're all grappling down from the beams, and then do 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 do, and a big ass battle commences. And then they're still fighting, and army or not, you do realize you are doomed. Close up of the eyes.
I don't think so. And then Obi-Wan, my support, and I just...
Yeah, he force pushes Grievous against the wall. But Grievous also does the little spider thing.
Yes! And then the fucking chase between the big ass iguana and Grievous with his like wheel thing that is pretty cool.
Oh, but yes. There is a lot of sequences that are just like, they're drawn out action sequences, but they're so good.
Also, remember that TikTok that I sent you months ago of George Lucas in the editing room for Revenge of the Sith? Is all of the men are like sweating on how sexy Obi-Wan is? Like, the way that they shot him and his lines and everything. Even he's like, I don't think so. And I was like, George, we get it. Ewan is too hot right now in this moment. We get it. Like, and George was like, whew, I need water.
I may have gone too far in a few places. No, that's what he said when he screened Phantom Menace for the first time. It's... There's behind the scenes footage of just everybody just like in shock, just how they can't really process or understand what George is talking about. So they're just like nodding their heads and agreeing. And it's just, man, is it tragic. Because George is just trying to tell something and then nobody is getting it. And even if they do get it, they're just like George doesn't seem to understand certain things. But the long, drawn-out sequence. We see another nightmare from Anakin, I believe. And
then he has another talk with Palpatine.
This is when Palpatine is looking over the Death Star plans and everything. It's a good thing nobody else walked in on him. And Palpatine at this point is just like, you should be taught in the ways of the Force. He says, I know the ways of the Force. And Anakin's just like, how do you know that? My mentor taught me everything I know.
Even the nature of the dark side.
You know the dark side? To understand one's thoughts or something. I don't know. It's very
late. If you want to understand the great mystery of the Force, one must study all of its aspects.
Not just the dogmatic view of the Jedi.
If you wish to become a complete and wise leader, you must embrace a large view of the Force. Be careful of the Jedi, Anakin. They fear you. In time, they will destroy you.
Only through me can you achieve a power greater than
any Jedi.
And you can save your wife. Dead. And he gives this creepy ass smile.
Yes.
And he's just like, what did you say? Use my knowledge. I beg you. You're the Sith Lord.
I know what has been troubling you. I know you. You've been searching for a life greater than any ordinary Jedi. You're wrong. And then I love this of Palpatine just facing, looking the other way, and Anakin's behind him. Are you going to kill me? I would certainly like to. I know you. feel your anger.
It gives me focus. Makes you stronger.
I'm going to tell the Jedi. Of course you should.
Palpatine is so turned on the way that he says, I know you.
Yeah, he's just like, oh yeah, no, by the way, you just do your job. By the way, just go ahead and tell him. I'll be right here. Mm-hmm. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm just chilling. I already read the screenplay. I know where it's going. You have not read the new pages. Just go, Anakin. Just go.
We're actually going. We're breezing through this movie faster than I thought. An hour in.
We're going to the big part.
Yeah, that's true. We are about halfway through the movie right now. And yeah, no, at this point, I didn't mind the dialogue and just the way everything is delivered. Ian McDiarmid, for sure, best actor in this movie.
Yes, 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 yes.
He gets so many awesome monologues, and it makes you feel like he really does embrace this sort of Shakespearean villain, like an Iago.
Yes.
Sort of figure where he is pulling all the strings and he knows the game. He's five steps ahead of everybody. There's really no other way to describe it, but it's very Shakespeare.
Palpatine is one of the best Disney villains.
But yes, Anakin goes to Mace Windu and he goes, Master, I have a terrible news. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, no, before that, I believe
The final fight between Grievous and Obi-Wan.
Yeah, the final fight between Grievous and Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan he's hanging off a ledge, manages to use a blaster.
And Grievous has the high ground.
Yes, Grievous does have the high ground, but he has a blaster and he shoots Grievous five times in the chest. Mm-hmm. And Grievous explodes from the inside, his entire chest cavity.
Also, this is a thing that I don't know if I don't remember that they say that in the Jenny Tartosky show, but I think they said in the other Clone Wars show that he was technically an alien, but the only thing that he had of his original body was the heart.
Technically, that's true. Mm-hmm. Technically, I remember in the Tartakovsky series that Mace Windu was the reason why you had a breathing problem. Mm-hmm. That is actually not the case. They just won't explain the breathing problem. We have seen what he looks like or what his species looks like without the mask, and it's creepy as shit. But Obi-Wan, when he goes over to Dooku, I keep saying Dooku, Grievous's body, he just throws the blaster. So uncivilized. Nice. And this thing is like charcoal black.
Yep.
And then it cuts to a council meeting where I believe that Mace Windu goes, because there's, oh yeah, no, it's because Commander Cody who is Obi-Wan's clone commander, is calling in. And during the fight, I loved that at one point Obi-Wan loses his lightsaber and Cody finds it.
Yep.
It's much like he gave Anakin such a hard time in the last movie about losing his lightsaber, and now he ironically loses his.
Cody gives it to him back. The first time of Obi-Wan driving a big ass iguana. It happens.
Yeah, but Cody calls in to say General Kenobi is pursuing Grievous as we speak. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, oh, okay, so the war is almost over. Because once Grievous is dead. And then Mace Windu is just like, I sense a plot to destroy the Jedi. Only now, of course. We gotta do something about the Chancellor really quick. And Ki-Adi-Mundi is just like, if he does not give up executive power, we will be forced to take control of the government. Of course, Anakin over... Or I don't know if Anakin hears it, but...
No, because it's Windu with FaceTiming with all of the council members because they're all in different parts of the galaxy in the war.
Oh, yeah. And Yoda, by the way, he has two Wookiees guarding him. Mm. One is Tarful and the other, Chewbacca. Yes, Chewie. I was just like, holy crap, is that Chewie? I couldn't believe that. 9-year-old me was so happy because I love Chewie. He really is like a big dog. He's the best. And then Anakin catches up with Mace Windu, I think, after the meeting, and he goes, "Master, I have to tell you something. This is a big bombshell, so you better be ready for it."
Mm-hmm.
"I think that Chancellor Palpatine is a Sith Lord."
"A Sith Lord?"
"Yes, the one we've been looking for."
"That one is sucky."
And he's just like, "Are you sure?" "Yes." He goes, "If what you told me..." Or he's just like, "Then remain here." Conveniently has all these Jedi Masters in a in an airship.
Mm-hmm.
Just ready to go. And yes, they do all have names. The one that is my favorite is Kit Fisto, who's the green one.
Yes! I always call him the green one.
Yes, and he just goes... or Anakin is just like, I can help you with this. Let me go. And he's like, "No. If what you told me is true, then you will have gained my trust. But for now, let us deal with this. Wait at the council in the council room until we get back."
And
so basically,
then...
"We're going to take care of this
and
just wait up there for your reward."
And then we cut out, we see, I love this shot of just silence between Padme and Anakin, looking at each other, and the way they hear the music that is so lamentful and dark. And you see Padme just preparing herself what's going to happen as Anakin, he's deciding what to do, if he will do the orders of the Jedi, or he will go and save Palpatine. And the way that he cries at the end before he makes his decision. And then we cut out, you want to do Palpatine, you want to do Mace Windu.
Oh, no. Also, I love the detail. I never noticed it until I put captioning on, but Palpatine somehow uses the Force to contact Anakin. It's just like, "You know, if they kill me, you can never save her." Because he knows.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. And there was another talk with Anakin and Padme where he's just like, he's still venting out and he's just like, "I want more."
Mm-hmm.
"And I know I shouldn't."
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just like, I'll learn how to save you, Padme. Save me from what?"
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, "I won't let these things come true. Anakin, I promise you." "No, I promise you." "Nothing will happen." But yes, Anakin looks over and he does the crying and all that. Phenomenal, just silent acting for both Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen. Hayden Christensen really does not get enough credit.
Yeah.
In this movie, he is great.
He's amazing in this one. And I will give you the honor for you to be Palpatine in this scene.
When the Jedi Masters come into the office.
Okay, you start.
"Master Windu, how unexpected." Or he's just like, "I take it that General Grievous is dead. I must say you are here sooner than expected."
"In the name of the Galactic Senate of the Republic, you're under arrest, Chancellor."
"Are you threatening me, Master Jedi?"
"The Senate will decide your fate."
"I am the Senate."
"Not yet." And then...
he pulls out a lightsaber.
A gold one. That is so fucking cool.
Just out from his hand, like... "It's treason, then." And he does this awesome flip. And then in like the span of 4 seconds, he cuts down two of the Masters.
And me in the theater like this. With a fucking cigarette. God. I was like, damn.
But why are they just standing there? Why didn't they have their defenses up?
I was telling my mom, "Pass me another cigarette. This is getting good."
Yeah, and then briefly fights Kit Fisto and Mace Windu, cuts Kit Fisto, and then him and Mace Windu have this incredible fight. I mean, yes, you can tell when it's obviously not Ian McDiarmid, the CGI, because he is a very old man.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, so is Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
He's actually in his 70s.
But Samuel in that time, he's his 60s, I think? 55, maybe?
Yeah, and he looks like he's like maybe 40.
Yeah.
It's kind of incredible.
Yeah, he's a great actor. He has a lot of physicality. And then we see
he really does. He towers over Ian McDiarmid.
And
easily.
Then they break out the window, and I love the sound that you can hear of like the air and all of the ships. It's like, ah! And then we see Mace Windu kicks Palpatine and kicks his sword. I was like, you are under arrest, my lord.
Oh, no. Anakin manages, he decides to go to the Chancellor's office. And yes, Mace Windu ends up kicking the lightsaber out of his hand and out the window and backs him into a corner at the edge of the window. And then you do it.
Yeah. You want me to?
Like Mace Windu.
Oh, you're Mace Windu. Yeah, I'm Mace Windu.
I'll do Anakin as well.
You're under arrest, my lord.
Anakin, I told you we'd come to this. I was right. The Jedi are taking over.
The oppression of the Sith will never return. You have lost.
No. You will die.
And he shoots lightning at him.
He's but then a traitor.
He deflects the lightning back at him.
Yeah.
He's a traitor.
He is a traitor.
I have the power to save the ones you love. You must choose.
Don't listen to him, Anakin.
Don't let him kill me. I can't hold on any longer.
I'm too weak.
Anakin, help me. Help me.
And then he looks like a ball sack now.
Yeah. I cannot.
I can't hold on any longer.
I'm going to end this once and for all.
You can't. He must stand trial.
He has control of the Senate and the court. He's too dangerous to be kept alive.
But you will. Don't kill me, please.
He sounds like he's yawning, by the way.
Yeah. It's not the Jedi way.
He must live.
Palpatine, please don't.
I need him.
please don't.
No. Slice. He cuts his fucking hand off. Oh, yeah, and the line, he's too dangerous to be left alive, that is a callback to an earlier line that Palpatine said about Dooku. He said he was too dangerous to be left alive. But yes, he cuts off Mace Windu's hand. Power!
Unlimited time! Power!
Power! And he force lightnings him out the window. Kills him.
Me and the team was like, yes, because I never liked Mace Windu in the movies. I like him more in the Jenny Tartosky show.
What have I done? God.
You are fulfilling, you are
fulfilling your destiny.
Anakin.
I don't know if you have the Palpatine dialogue, here he's got the yellow eyes. And
oh my god,
his skin is disgusting.
Become my apprentice. Learn to use the dark side of the Force. I will do whatever
you ask.
Cool.
Just help me save Padme's life. I can't live without her.
To cheat death is a power only one has achieved. But if we work together, I know we can discover the secret. I pledge myself
to your teachings.
Good. The Force is strong with you.
The Force is strong with you.
I'm going to turn into Yoda for a second. A powerful
Sith you will become. Henceforth. You shall be known as Darth Vader.
Thank you, my master.
Rise. And then he puts on the cloak. Somehow it keeps up there.
Yeah.
And they discuss. He even says, we must move quickly. When the Jedi learn what's transpired here, they will kill us all.
It will be a civil war without him.
I agree. And he goes, go to the Jedi Temple and wipe.
Go to the Mustafar system.
Go to the Mustafar system. Wipe out Viceroy Gunray and the other separatists. He goes, all of the Jedi, including your friend, Obi-Wan Kenobi, is now an enemy of the Republic.
Once more, the Sith will rule the galaxy. And we shall have peace.
And he also says, go to the Jedi Temple.
Mm-hmm.
We will get them. We will catch them off guard.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he will go to the Mustafar system and wipe them out.
This whole scene is gorgeous. It's everything that I wanted since when I heard the word prequel. I wanted to see the rise of Palpatine. I wanted to see the fall of the Jedi. This is the thing that I wanted to see since I was 7 years old. When I saw the original trilogy and I heard about prequels. And I was so hyped and so, I was like, this is gorgeous, like that drama. This is all what Raul wants.
It's Catalina Creel.
Yes! Like, if Catalina Creel will have, Catalina Creel and Palpatine, that will be the perfect marriage. That will destroy
also, quickly, all of the galaxy. Quickly give some context to who the hell Catalina Creel is. I know who she is because I know Raul, but the audience probably doesn't know about, probably isn't well-versed in the art of Mexican telenovelas.
Yes, it's a telenovela from the 80s called Wolf's Den. In Spanish, it's Cuna de Lobos. And Catalina Creel is considered still the best villain in a telenovela. She only has an eye patch. And she will do anything, anything for no one to destroy her vision of the thing that she wants.
Not only that, she doesn't even need the eye patch.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, yeah, that's her big secret that she faked it. She can see from both eyes. And that's how she manipulates that, kind of like Palpatine. She controls everyone like puppets. Like Catalina Creel and Palpatine, they will be the perfect duo. They will destroy the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the DC, all of them.
I don't know about that, but I do agree. They're both wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That too.
Very much. Except now, the veil has been pulled off, and everyone now will know that Palpatine is a Sith Lord.
Well, so they a lot of people will know the real secret, because then we know about the lie that he's going to do next.
Oh, but it's brilliant.
Yes.
Because now, the trap that he's set for decades, literally decades to make, he has successfully turned Anakin to the dark side. He has killed many prominent members of the council, but now in one fell swoop, in his mind, he will eradicate the entire Jedi religion and all of their pupils and practitioners. And with that, he calls up Commander Cody first, it seems. Commander Cody, the time has come. Execute Order 66.
It will be done, my lord.
And then they shoot because Obi-Wan, because he's on the ridge and he's still in the battle with the iguana. And it shoots the cliff and it causes Obi-Wan and the iguana thing to go down into the river.
Oh,
and this is when we learn about Order 66. So, in canon... You are thinking to yourself, why are the clones suddenly turning against the Jedi? Because in war, you tend to bond with the soldiers, especially with the Jedi. They're basically the military commanders. And you have to have a level of trust with your soldiers and allies.
Yeah.
They spend a lot of time together. So they wouldn't just turn on them free will. But that's the thing about Order 66. In the show, The Clone Wars, it's not explicitly stated in the movie. I thought it was terrible in the movie because it made me feel like these clones never cared about the Jedi or anything. But in the Clone Wars show, the clones are, when they are made, have inhibitor chips in their heads. It's supposed to help with behavior and stuff.
Technically say something like that in Attack of the Clones, so to make them more docile?
Yeah, it makes them more docile. But Order 66 is an order that Palpatine secretly put in there. The Kaminoans knew about this. And it basically says just to kill all the Jedi. And you cannot reason with them. They biologically cannot. They're like in a trance, and they have to do it. They biologically cannot fight against it. They could fight against it for a little bit, but they will succumb to it. It doesn't matter how loyal clones are. And it's shown a couple of times in the series. And they even say it was just like, I couldn't help it, no matter how hard I fought. So they're not given a choice. And then we see the entire montage of Order 66. And it's just done through this piece of music called Anakin's Betrayal. And we see many masters fall and just get killed. And my God.
My God.
It's just done entirely with score and some sound effects, but mostly score.
My favorite one is when you see the master was like, come on! And then you see all of the clones and just only focus on the shoes that they're just stopping. And they shoot him and you see how he's losing his arms and then his body falls. The way that the master reels, like, what the hell is going on?
The droid attack on the Wookiees guy.
That's my favorite death of the Order 66. That's so beautiful and so...
It's not my favorite.
Dramatic. Oh, well.
Because my favorite's coming up.
Ah, yes.
That is, we also saw a shot of Anakin, cloak and all, takes an entire legion of stormtroopers. Like, or not stormtroopers, clones.
Amazing.
To the temple. To the Jedi temple. And they go in there and they commit genocide against the Jedi. And we're seeing all the clones just overwhelm all the Jedi, young and old alike. And we see the younglings in the council room, I think. Or it's the training room.
Yeah.
And this one little boy is just like, Master Skywalker, there are too many of them. What are we going to do? Anakin just goes down. That was when I was like, what the hell? 15 minutes earlier, he was totally okay. And now he is slaughtering children. That's a big irredeemable thing. After this, there is really... I mean, after choosing to cut off Mace Windu's hand, you knew there was no going back.
My mom said, this is getting dark. She said, I was like, holy shit. And I'm like, this is cool.
But like at the same time, you just never thought you would see this in a Star Wars movie. It's like, holy shit. But then it also makes sense because you now know why there were really no Jedi. Because they were literally wiped out. And as Obi-Wan said in the original movie, Darth Vader, who was a pupil of mine before he turned evil, helped the Emperor hunt and destroy all the Jedi. He betrayed and murdered your father. In a way that was true.
Yeah, from a certain point of view.
Greatest Schmodown after show anyway. We also forgot how just freaking gold and shiny 3PO is.
Yes.
I know that's random, but it does I am mentioning this because we cut to Padme seeing the temple and it's on fire. There's smoke coming from it. And the temple is huge. And everybody now knows, oh shit, something happened to the Jedi. But then, like, Senator Bail Organa comes to check on the damage. Oh yeah, and Padme, of course, cries because she thinks that Anakin he possibly killed. And Bail Organa, Jimmy Smits, goes and is like,
what's happening here?
Yeah, and he's just as confused as everybody else. But then they're just like, there's been an attack, sir. And they're going to blame it on... what Palpatine's great... we'll do that when he gets his big speech.
Oh my God, that speech. But we see that the sergeant was like, there has been a rebellion, so don't worry, situation's under control. Then the Bail Organa is trying to get it. Was like, no, sir, it's time for you to leave. He's like, and so it is. But then we see a kid jumping out and he's defending himself against the clones, but then the clones kill this Jedi.
By the way, that kid, Jet Lucas, George Lucas's son.
Oh, I didn't know that. And then Bail Organa screams, jumps into his speeder, and he runs away. One of the girls says, no, let him go. And then we see Obi-Wan survive.
Oh, yeah. Another thing, not just Obi-Wan surviving, but we forgot to mention Yoda.
Oh, yeah. He cut off a head of a clone.
No, not just... He cuts off two.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Clone
troopers when they try to kill him. But Yoda, through the Force, feels that something is wrong. Just like the Force is very much like connected to life. And if something like Order 66, this is the biggest thing in the Star Wars universe, is because this really did change the game.
Yeah.
It wiped out the Jedi, most of the Jedi simultaneously, all across the galaxy. And it's a big galaxy.
Yeah.
They're constantly adding more worlds, and they can add as many worlds as they want. So we don't know how big, how successful this was on Palpatine's part. And
that mouse lies dead, though.
Like, from movies to books to video games, if anything that is associated with Order 66 is usually really, really good. Not usually, it's always good. And I love just everything from the score to how it's shot to just seeing all this build up to, like, what is the big event? Why are there no Jedi? Finally pay off. It's so satisfying, but so tragic at the same time. Because, I mean, yeah, even the kids don't survive. That's a big deal. But then after that, you're right, Obi-Wan survived the fall. And he makes his way off Utapau.
And then Yoda says goodbye to Chewbacca and Tarful.
Goodbye, Tarful. Goodbye, Chewbacca. Miss you. I will. And then he takes off. And then Obi-Wan is just like, basically, mayday, mayday. Something is happening, and Bail Organa picks him up because he hears the transmission, and then they're just like, what is happening right now? Like, are there any survivors? And Bail Organa is just like, look, I don't know, but something has been happening. I knew that the Jedi were in danger, so I went to try to find as many as I could. That's where I found Master Yoda flying in his escape pod.
And that's how we picked him up. If Helmin Kennedy is the original ship from A New Hope from the beginning.
Yes, that is the Yavin 4.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, oh, we got to get back to Coruscant. But how are we going to get in there undetected? Because we're basically public enemy number one now. Then Bail Organa is just like, I think I can help with that, because the Chancellor is calling a mandatory meeting for all the senators. And so they do that. They sneak in. He drops them off in the lower temple. And everybody's going to be distracted with the Senate meeting in there, because now basically the war is almost over. Clones are winning against the droids. As well, that's been stated in the dialogue. But Yoda and Obi-Wan, they take out the clones and they just check out the damage of the temple. And oh man, it is just like Obi-Wan's face, he's just like, not even the younglings survived.
So many bodies.
Him and oh my god, there's so many bodies. And him and Yoda are just like in shock. Yoda's just like, not killed by blaster, this Padawan was, but by lightsaber.
Who could have done this? And then we cut out, we see Anakin. Also, we skipped that Anakin, he was already his way on Mustafar. And we see Viceroy.
No, he visits Padme. Well, also he visits Padme back again after, you know, turning to the dark side. and stretches the truth and says, "The Jedi have attempted to overthrow the Republic. I saw Master Windu try to assassinate the senator, or assassinate the Chancellor himself, or myself." And she's just like, "Oh my god, what are we gonna do?" And he goes, "I will not betray the Chancellor. Mm-hmm. My loyalties lie with the Republic." And then she's just like, "Anakin, seriously, what are we gonna do?" And he's just like, "Have faith, my love. I've been given an important mission. When I come back, things will be all better.
That will be the end of this war."
And he goes off to fulfill the second part of his mission, which is to kill all the separatist leaders. Mm-hmm. Conveniently putting them all in one spot.
Yep.
All part of the plan. It really just shows how much planning.
Especially, I love how Palpatine was like, "Oh, don't worry, Senator Gunray. My apprentice will take care of you."
Yeah. But then we get the Senate meeting.
Oh my god.
And Padme is there, Bail Organa is there, and then Bail Organa arrives a little bit late. Mm-hmm. But we get to, "And the remaining Jedi will be hunted down and defeated." "The attempt on my life has left me scarred and deformed. But I assure you, my resolve has never been stronger."
No, no. We're also cutting down on
Mustafa. While this is happening, We have to know that Obi-Wan and Anakin, Obi-Wan and Yoda, they discover what happens. Mm-hmm. And there was somebody put a signal out to call all Jedi to the temple and lure them into the trap.
Yeah, so they hacked killed. The message to
they say... hacked it, and then Obi-Wan is just like, "I've told them, I've recalibrated it, says warn all Jedi to stay away." Mm-hmm. They're just like, "It's gonna take a long time for the clones to realize this." Mm-hmm. And Yoda had already seen the security footage. But Obi-Wan is just like, "I gotta know who did this." And then Yoda even says, he goes, "If into the security recordings you go, only pain you will find." Mm-hmm. And he does, and he sees Anakin. We get to see a little bit of Anakin just killing kids.
Yeah.
And the look of pure horror on his face is just some great acting by Ewan McGregor. Like,
He can be.
Yeah, and then now he knows.
And then we cut to
Parker Yoda Pete. And Obi-Wan are just like, or Yoda goes, "Destroy the Sith, we must. Send me to kill the Emperor. I will not kill Anakin. He's like my brother. The boy you trained, gone he is. Consumed by this Darth Vader."
"You're not strong enough, Obi-Wan."
Yeah. Yeah, so Yoda's just like, "I'll take on the Emperor, but you have to take on Anakin." Mm-hmm. "You don't have a choice, or you have to take on Darth Vader now. Because Anakin, that boy that you knew, he's gone."
Yeah, he's dead.
That's gotta be so devastating for Obi-Wan.
And then we cut out to Papa.
Oh, yeah, and the Senate speech.
Yeah.
Or no. Before this, this is the talk before with Obi-Wan and Padme.
Oh, not
because
yet.
Because he goes just like, "You sure about that?"
Yeah, it's after.
Because, oh, yes, you are right.
And because Palpatine is like, "In order to ensure our security and continued stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire for Sith and Secure Society." And the way that he raises his hands, it like...
His arms, he's just like... Mic drop.
Yeah, and then you see Padme. So this is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
Oh yes, and this was also cut with Anakin just slaughtering all the separatist leaders.
And then we see another guy was like, "The war is over. Lord Sidious promised us peace, the only one. Ah! Oh yeah. My god.
And then we see Obi-Wan visit Padme. Mm-hmm. And he's like, when was the last time you saw him?
Yesterday.
Padme, Anakin has turned to the dark side. You're wrong. How could you even say that?
I saw security recorders of him killing younglings.
And he looks like he's trying to hold in a laugh because I think that's what he was doing. Not Anakin. He couldn't.
He was deceived by a lie.
We all were. Turns out that the Chancellor is behind everything, including the war. Palpatine is the Sith Lord that we've been looking for. After the death of Count Dooku, Anakin became his new apprentice.
I don't believe you. I can't.
Padme, I must find him.
You're going to kill him, aren't you?
He has become a very big threat.
And then Padme, she's just sitting down as Obi-Wan gets up, and then he sees him.
He looks over and he just goes, Anakin is the father, isn't he?
And Padme was like, fuck. Just, damn.
I'm so sorry. And then
amazing telenovela. Oh my god. Scene. Amazing.
The score. Anakin. Now, he did his job and he is just looking out.
And crying.
The one tear cry. Oh my god, it's so good. Hayden is so intimidating as well. When he is killing those separatist guys. You see, there's this one shot of him looking back and his eyes are all yellow.
Poster shot.
The poster shot. I was just like, whoa. Oh my god, no, Anakin. I was so hurt.
I was like, yes. Kill everyone, kill them.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Boom. And then we see that Padme, she knows where Anakin is going because he told her. Dumb shit. But she goes, oh yeah, and we see she is now heavily pregnant. Like very visible belly and everything. So some time has passed. And then you don't see it immediately, but Padme does board a ship. If you look really, really close, you can see Obi-Wan sneak onto the ship as well. Because he knows that Padme knows. He's known about Padme and Anakin for some time. That's been established in canon. He never said anything because he knew how much it meant to Anakin. And it's because he loves him just as he loves him like a son. Or again, like a brother. And he sneaks on, and then we'll get to that final battle.
And then,
is there anything before that?
No, this is right. We see Sidious FaceTiming Darth Vader, and he's like, you have done well, my apprentice, and you have bring security to the new empire." And then we see Anakin hanging up, and then we see the Padme.
Naboo ship another arriving. Thing. He was like, tell the. All the factories to shut down droid production.
Oh, yeah. And the droids have to be shut down too, completely.
Immediately. Because they have served their purpose. The war is now over.
And then
I'll let you. Did you want to do the setup?
Yeah. We see Padme landing. We see Padme with so much pain, seeing the lava from afar, as we see. Anakin.
Oh, yeah, because Mustafar is a lava planet.
It's a lava planet. And we see Anakin running to Padme's ship, and I'll do Padme, and you will do Anakin. And I was like, oh, Anakin.
I saw your ship. What are you doing out here?
Oh, I was so worried about you. Obi-Wan told me terrible things.
What things?
He said you have turned to the dark side. That you... killed younglings.
Obi-Wan is trying to turn you against me.
He cares about us.
Us?
He knows. He wants to help you.
Oh shit, I forget the line.
And then I was like, and then he says, and then Padme says, Anakin, all I want is your love. And then
Oh yeah. Love won't save you, Padme. Only my new powers can do that.
At what cost? You're a good person. Don't do this.
I won't lose you the way I lost my mother.
I've become more powerful.
I have become more powerful than the Chancellor. I could overthrow him.
Come away with me. Help me raise our child. Leave everything else behind while we still can.
Don't you see? We don't have to run anymore. I could overthrow the Chancellor. I have become more powerful than any Jedi. I have become more powerful than the Chancellor. I could overthrow him. Together, you and I can rule the galaxy. Make things the way we want them to be.
I don't really want to hear it. Obi-Wan was right. You change.
I don't want to hear any more about Obi-Wan. The Jedi turned against me. Don't you turn against me.
I don't know you anymore. Anakin, you're breaking my heart. You're going down to a path I can't follow.
Because of Obi-Wan.
Because of what you've done. What you plan to do. Stop. Stop. Come back now. I love you. And then you see Anakin. Obi-Wan from afar. But I was like, fuck. I was like, no.
Oh, yeah. Obi-Wan doing that Superman pose. Like this. That power pose.
And then Anakin.
Liar.
No.
You're with him. You brought him here to kill me.
No.
And then he fucking chokes Anakin. Her. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, Anakin.
And then
he's choking out his heavily pregnant wife.
And then Christ. I'll be Anakin, you'll be Obi-Wan. And then you will say, let her go, Anakin.
Let her go, Anakin.
Let her go. You turned her against me.
You have done that yourself.
You will not take her from me.
Your anger and your lust for power have already done that. You have allowed this dark lord to twist your mind until now you have become the very thing that you have sworn to destroy.
Don't lecture me, Obi-Wan. I see to the lies of the Jedi. I do not fear the dark side as you do. I have brought peace, justice, freedom, and security to my new empire.
Your new empire?
Don't make me kill you.
Anakin, my allegiance is to the Republic, to democracy.
If you're not with me, then you're my enemy.
Only a Sith deals in absolutes. I will do what I must.
You will try.
And then he ignites his lightsaber, does the fucking awesome slip.
Oh my God.
Flip, and then what happens is the greatest lightsaber battle of all time.
It's the best fucking lightsaber fight of all the saga.
Fast and chaotic. The score, which is titled The Battle of Heroes, it sounds with the use of the horns, you know, do 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 do.
And the just visuals knowing that, of the lava is amazing.
Oh yeah, the orange light. Yeah. And just how it makes the playing field so dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor, they did that themselves. They spent months and hours and hours and hours practicing choreography.
Mm-hmm.
For like, this is goes on for like a solid 20 minutes, yeah. 15 at least. And it, like, if we went down to every detail, we would be here for another hour.
Yeah.
But oh my God, it is chef's kiss, pure cinema. But and, while that's happening,
cinema.
We get another great lightsaber fight. We get Yoda confronting the Emperor.
You will be Yoda.
Boosh. Oh yeah, we see the Royal Guard. Yoda just boom, takes him out one hit.
And then you will be Yoda.
Oh, he goes,
You will say, I hear a new
apprentice. Oh, yeah. No, I hear a new apprentice you have, Emperor. Or should I say Darth Sidious?
Master Yoda, you survive.
Surprised?
Your arrogance blinds you, Master Yoda. Now you will experience the full power of the dark side.
Shoots force lightning at him, and then it hits him. And then it's also cut with Anakin and Obi-Wan doing these awesome moves. They're cutting the walls. Oh my God. Super close. And just, like, there's some kicking involved. Mm-hmm. And just more incredible swordsmanship from both Hayden and Ewan.
And then we cut out back to Palpatine and Yoda. I have waited a long time for this moment, my little green friend. At last, the Jedi are no more.
Not if anything to say about it, I have.
Then he pushes him back into his chair. It's great.
At an end, your rule is. And not short enough it was.
And then we see Sidious jumping to try to get away, and then Yoda blocks the exit. And then Yoda says,
if so powerful you are, why leave?
You will not stop me. Darth Vader will become more powerful than either of us.
Faith in your new apprentice.
Replace
him.
As
is your faith in the dark side of the Force.
Dun, dun.
And it's hilarious then, just this little green Muppet just flipping around like a ping pong facing Palpatine, or the Emperor. Now he really is the Emperor.
But it's amazing. It's like also because you know that I have said that there's a lot of like biblical stuff in Star Wars. It's like seeing God versus Lucifer.
Really, it is. Yeah. Because when you think about it, these two are the best in what they are. Yoda is technically the best Jedi. Palpatine is the best Sith. Palpatine more so because Yoda was blind to the descent of Anakin Skywalker. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about the Anakin Skywalker. Let's just go into some spoilers after that.
Yeah.
So the whole point, and George Lucas has said this before, is that the Force needs balance.
Mm-hmm.
There's good and bad. And Palpatine knows that if he kills Anakin, that the Force is just going to correct that.
Mm-hmm.
So what does he do? And Palpatine knows this. He's the smartest guy in the universe. So what does he do? He seduces him to try to double the strength of the dark side. So what does the Force do? It gives us twins. Two and two.
Mm-hmm.
Balance, right? If you look through the films through that simple lens, you will know who is going to win and who's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Or just win in general. The Force dictates what happens. Like, there is no good and evil in the Force's eye. It's all about the balance. And the Jedi very clearly outbalanced the Sith. So that needed to be corrected. But there needs to be a balance between both of them. And it's playing all these heroic archetypes and shit, and just like characters like Han Solo, like there's no Jack Bauer of Star Wars where it's just this morally gray, like badass. Han Solo is not Jack Bauer. He is a reluctant hero. And then it's just so cool to think this is just how George's mind works.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that he can make a point. He makes so many, he said it multiple times, it's poetry, it rhymes. Mm-hmm. It really does. It might not be the way that people expect, but it's incredible, really. Yeah. And, most of the rest of the movie right now is just fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And it is incredible. At one point, Anakin and Obi-Wan are on a platform because they destabilized the big base that's holding.
They destroyed the shields of
they destroyed the stabilizer shields, so it's gonna sink into the lava. And they're on a piece, and they are swinging back and forth on cables. Obi-Wan manages to land on a platform because there's some lava miners.
Also. Yeah, kind of like mining.
Yeah, some droids mining for lava.
Uh-huh.
Anakin manages to jump up, land on a droid. The droid has to drop the bucket of lava. And then they are fighting on the lava. Now everything is much, much closer. That's why the movements aren't as fast. And while this is also happening, the Emperor literally throws Senate seats at Yoda. And then he does the Force Lightning. Yoda, of course, is blocking it, but then it gets so close that, boom, they both fall off. Mm-hmm. Palpatine manages to hold on to one of the Senate seats and pull himself back up. But Yoda does not. He doesn't have enough of a grip stuff, and he falls down. Boom, boom. Yoda's lost. And he makes his way through, like,
the
cooling system. Yeah, like the cooling systems and stuff. And since he's so small, he calls Bail Organa, hey, you got to pick me up. So he does. And Yoda drops down into his car, and then into exile, I must go.
Failed.
We'll get back to that scene later when we do The Last Jedi, because there is a saying in that movie that directly applies to Yoda. And then while that's happening, Anakin and Obi-Wan are fighting, and I love the one continuity error. By the way, this is before them, but this is before they got like the tiny platforms. But when Anakin is choking Obi-Wan, and he has Anakin's lightsaber in his hand in the first shot, but then when we see Anakin's point of view, it's Obi-Wan's lightsaber, and then it cuts back to Anakin's lightsaber. So that's a bit of a continuity error that Star Wars fans always love to point out.
Oh, you never noticed that. That's a pretty good point of view.
Yeah, and then it's boo, boo, boo. And then they get to a point where they're just like, ugh, equally matched. I have failed you, Anakin. I have failed you.
I should have known the Jedi were plotting to take over.
Anakin, Chancellor Palpatine is evil.
From my point of view, the Jedi are evil.
Well, then you are lost.
This is the end for you, my master.
Some more fighting, and then it gets to a point where Obi-Wan jumps off, and he gets to the ground. You'll understand the next part. Yes. And then Anakin's standing there. It's over, Anakin! I have the high ground!
You underestimate my power!
Don't try it. Slice. And he defenestrates.
It's both. Amazing that he got two legs and one arm in one go.
Oh, it definitely is incredible. And the fact that then we just see Anakin, his torso. He is literally a torso and a
rubber
arm. And he is falling towards the lava.
And then I will do Obi-Wan because this is the most dramatic one.
Oh, for sure. And then I got a little bit of like what this means symbolically.
Ooh.
Is okay. That well, you do the line first.
Okay,
and I'll be Anakin.
We see Anakin, like, you can see he's painted the way that his eyes turn yellow, and then Obi-Wan says, "You were the chosen one. It was said that you will destroy the Sith, not join them. Bring balance to the Force, not leave it in darkness." And then Anakin's like, I hate you. You are my brother, Anakin. I love you.
And then he gets lit on fire.
And then you see you see Anakin burning, and then you hear the music. But and then also we see Anakin, and we see Obi-Wan grabbing his Anakin's lightsaber. And then as you can hear, and as we see, even you can hear the magma, everything, burning.
Oh, Anakin,
I feel so bad for Anakin. I feel so bad for
him. He killed a bunch of kids.
I know, but the fucking pain. I'm like, hey, Obi-Wan, I know that there's a sequel next to this story, but God damn it, just kill him already. That's too much. All right.
Oh, yeah. And anyway, the symbolism was in Dante's Inferno, I believe, one of the levels is the sinners get, I think they lose their legs or something. And it's like to symbolize that they've lost a part of themselves or something like that. I forget what it is, but it's a reference to Dante's
Inferno. Yeah, yeah.
Which that's a big deal because that's like one of the biggest philosophical books of all time. And yeah, you were my brother, Anakin. I loved you. You have to put this in perspective of Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
He has known this boy since he was 9.
Tanaki has known this kid for 15 years. So you round up the...
At the very least, 13 years. Yeah. And he has trained him as best he could. He has become like his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing he hears from him before he assumes that he's dead is, I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
With such, like, hatred. And he's not Anakin anymore. He really is this shell of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And he really has lost his way. And, and Obi-Wan takes his lightsaber, by the way. Mm-hmm. What the hell, Obi-Wan? You're stealing from him? And he just leaves him there to die because he knows he can't help him.
Yeah.
And that's too late. And then he goes back. Good thing on 3PO, by the way, for picking up Padme. I was just like, yeah, yo, is anybody going to check on Padme? She is pregnant.
Also, and she got choked out. She's pretty strong, though. Like, carrying a pregnant woman?
Yeah, to the operating table and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he got some help from R2. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. True.
And then she's just like, is Anakin okay? And then I just go, no. Just like close her eyes and just go, no.
He's well done right now, Padme. He's well done.
Oh, yeah. No. There's absolutely nothing down there. And he's lost all his hair. He's a toe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And while this was happening during they're searching for Yoda, and he just goes, ready my, the Emperor goes, ready my shuttle. I sense that Lord Vader is in danger.
Mm-hmm.
So it sets that up. And so Obi-Wan meets up with Yoda and Bail Organa. And then we get Padme, who's about to give birth. Or they do a ret scan on her, and they're just like, medically, she's completely healthy. For reasons we can't explain, we're losing her. She's dying.
Mm-hmm.
We have to operate quickly if we are to save the babies.
Babies?
Babe. She's carrying twins. Oh, look at that. Because again, the Force corrects itself.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Force provides balance. Because there are two in the dark side. So what does it do? It gives us twins.
Mm-hmm.
Luke and Leia.
Twins!
And yeah, we see the birth of Luke and Leia. Luke did come first, and then Leia. And while this is happening, the Emperor did find Anakin,
mm-hmm.
or Vader, and he takes him to, I assume, Coruscant, even though it's raining.
I love how it's synchronized. It's the birth of Darth Vader, technically, and the birth of Luke and Leia at the same time.
Yep, both Anakin and Padme are on operating tables. One is giving life.
Mm-hmm.
One is being basically reconstructed.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, like, when Vader is getting wheeled in, mm-hmm. he has, like, no cover whatsoever. So he's just drenched, and it's just like, yeah, it just shows how self-serving the Emperor is, that he's totally dry and everything.
Yeah.
They're getting rid of all the debris. They're giving him robot parts. And yeah, he's burnt up mm-hmm. bad. And we see the Darth Vader suit. And we see the perspective of the mask coming down on his face. Mm-hmm. And something I didn't know is that he says, Padme, no. Ah. Or he goes, Padme, help. Like under his breath.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's voomp. And then it seals itself, and then the helmet.
Obi-Wan.
The first breath of Darth Vader.
Yeah. Obi-Wan.
As a kid, even now.
Amazing.
Chills. Literal chills.
There's somebody him. I know. I know this. And then she dies. Better than Mario Cortigliani in The Dark Knight Rises, I can say.
not the greatest death scene, but she does die. And there is actual medical syndrome where it's called broken heart syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually die. She lost the will to live.
It
sounds like a stupid excuse, and it is a telenovela death. But there actually is cases where mm-hmm. you can technically die of a broken heart.
Yeah.
And we have two babies now. And Darth Vader. You want to do the scene where...
Right, yeah. Who do you want to be?
I'll go Vader. Okay. For sure.
Lord Vader, can you hear me?
Yes, my master. Where is Padme? Is she all right?
Is she safe? In your anger, you killed her.
That can't be. She was alive. I felt it.
Yeah.
And then he crushes everything. It just shows you how powerful he is.
And then how he wakes up like Frankenstein style. Like,
oh, yeah. Very Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And then he is like strapped to the table and he has like these metal cuffs. He just boom, mm-hmm. boom, boom, boom. And you see just the Emperor has this shit-eating grin.
Oh my god.
Like, he knows.
Yeah.
Because we know that he's lying.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, yes, he did technically kill her. But, yeah.
No!
The fact that they got James Earl Jones back. It was so good. There is no other voice of Darth Vader
mm-hmm.
that will be like you. There have been other voices for Darth Vader, but the voice will always be James Earl Jones.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about his deep, bassy voice that really sells just how much of a badass Vader is. And mm-hmm. he's probably like grown a couple of inches. Vader's probably like 6'6" now.
Mm-hmm.
Like Anakin was tall before that, but now like with the robot parts, he's probably even taller. And while that's happening, we see Obi-Wan, Yoda, and Bail Organa decide what's going to happen next. We're at the end of the movie, and they're deciding the fates of the children. And very wisely, they're like, split them up. Because if they're both together, they're more in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we have to split them up, and nobody can know about these kids. Because the Emperor knows that if Anakin, or that Padme was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that if any kids were born, they would be a threat to him. And so, Organa is just like, I'll take the girl.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I always wanted to adopt a baby girl. She will be loved with us. And then they're like, what about the boy? Just put him on Tatooine with his family. Sure.
Yeah, they will never figure it out.
Yeah, they're just like, the girl will put her on the beautiful, peaceful planet of Alderaan.
Fucking,
and Bail Organa is very, he's got a good
Maui
position.
Kind of planet that it looks gorgeous.
It's only seen for a literal second.
Uh-huh.
The planet that we are supposed to care about, but Alderaan is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, it's so gorgeous. And then it's just like, let's leave Luke in this desert shithole with his family.
Mm-hmm.
Quote unquote family.
Yeah.
Which, if you were Owen and Beru, would you really take that kid in? I mean, think about it. You're just chilling out on your moisture farm and you're just doing your thing. And then suddenly this weird looking dude and this overly dressed woman come to the desert. And the guy claims that he is the son of the woman that your father married.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes off making awkward conversation with Padme, probably, or nothing, them sitting in silence. Either way, it's awkward. And he goes, and your brother goes off and kills a bunch of sand people. And then he shows up with his mom's dead body. And then they have a short funeral, and then he leaves. And then years later, that same guy's friend shows up with your brother's kid.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of nowhere. Would you really take that kid in?
Hell no.
And yes, I did steal that from What If Episode 3, or What If Episode 1 was good?
Yeah.
But he really does bring up a point. I wouldn't take that kid in.
No.
Unless they had like a thing where they couldn't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Could be in the Obi-Wan series.
Maybe.
But yes, Yoda goes, until the time comes, disappear, we must. And then Yoda's just like, oh, Obi-Wan, by the way, a word. You need some training to learn how to achieve life after death. Because your old master, Matt, he taught me. And he's like, Qui-Gon. And he's like, yes. Get you through these lessons, I will. Because, again, Qui-Gon was so smart. He learned how to live on in the Force, life after death. You know how they come back as like a Force ghost and all that. Yeah, Qui-Gon figured it out before everybody else. And then he taught Yoda, which is in the Clone Wars, by the way.
Interesting. Cool.
We see that. And I'm assuming that we are going to see that in the Obi-Wan series. I really, really hope Liam Neeson comes back as Qui-Gon.
That'd be cool.
That would make the most sense. Like, I mean, if it's Yoda, but we need to see Obi-Wan do some training and stuff. It's going to be crazy. It's just going to be crazy seeing Ewan again.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then we see the funeral of Padme.
And then she still has the Anakin necklace.
Yeah. It's on Naboo. We see a quick shot of Jar Jar and stuff. Literally the only thing. And it's like, who are all these people? It turns out in the deleted scenes, these are all her family. And I love the detail is that they kept her looking pregnant.
Yeah.
So it seems like the baby's died as well. And yeah, she's just very peaceful and beautiful. And she's Natalie Portman. And
we also you said it yourself.
The necklace that Anakin gave to... Oh, no, I'm getting to that. The necklace that Anakin gave to Padme when they first met is... It's kind of like a little rosary. Like, if you've ever been to a funeral, and then sometimes for corpses they put... Or deceased people, they would put a rosary in their hands and everything. So there's some Christian allegories right there. And while this is happening, we see Darth Vader on a platform of a Star Destroyer. And this is when we have like all the, it's the Empire now. So it's starting to get the aesthetic of, okay, we see some TIE fighters, a big ass Star Destroyer. And while this is happening, it's the Emperor and Vader are on this surface, or they're in the main room. By the way, that official that was walking away from the Emperor, that's Tarkin.
Yeah.
And they're seeing the construction of the Death Star, finally. And he is in a... It's bittersweet because Anakin is now... He's in this prison. He can't get out.
Yeah.
He was his own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Palpatine, he tricked him into becoming his apprentice by putting these visions in his head and having him fear that loss. And again, fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, all that stuff that Yoda said.
Yeah.
And we see Leia on Alderaan, and it's beautiful. And then we see Obi-Wan drop off Luke Skywalker to Owen and Beru as the twin sunsets set.
Oh my God.
With a new hope in the galaxy still out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it ends. Let's do some quick thoughts. Damn, that was a lot.
When I got out from the theater, I was still crying like so much. Because it was the end. Not only because of that, because the movie was amazing. The action, the drama, the fight in the volcano. A lot of people complain that the CGI is still too heavy. For me, the scene in the lava is fucking amazing. I fucking love it. It's gorgeous. Of course, you can say that it's too long, but I don't care because it's a fight that so many people have been waiting for decades. And I fucking love this movie a lot. Like, I couldn't say anymore. Like, if you have heard this whole thing for 2 hours, you can see that both of us, we fucking love this movie.
We literally just, we even said this before we recorded. We were just like, we're just going to be quoting entire scenes throughout the entire movie. And I know in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, we are too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a beloved movie in the franchise. It really did answer all the it answered a lot of the questions.
Yes.
How did Anakin Skywalker become Darth Vader? It might not been in the way that you expected, but mm-hmm. they were answered. And yeah, is there some criticisms? Yeah, of course there are. The dialogue is still the dialogue, mm-hmm. and it's basically the prequel movies. If it's the stuff that's been happening in the prequels, it's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either you. But I think they've just been done much better.
Yeah.
Because it was racing towards the finish line, and we knew what the outcome was going to be, but we didn't know how it was going to happen. And it happened in such creative ways. And I really do think that there was some great filmmaking in this.
It is a little... there's a lot of great filmmaking. The way that George Lucas, like, shot so many things, the beautiful thing that he does with Anakin and Padme, with the drama and the music, like, there's a lot of great stuff.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's so good. And for that reason, next to A New Hope, this is my favorite Star Wars movie.
Yes.
For that, I love almost everything. The cinematography, the acting, and yes, it can be hokey at times, but I can't hate this movie.
No.
Obviously, I have a clear bias. Like, shit, I bought the Darth Vader helmet when it came out. The one
nice.
Where you put it on and then it has, like, mm-hmm. little voice and everything. And I loved this movie. My hair, I grew out my hair like Anakin.
Nice.
Because I thought it was so cool. And yeah, just everything for me clicks. And for that, I'm giving it a 10.
Yes.
A rare time.
And I will give it, of course, an 11. This is also my second favorite of the episodes. I fucking love this movie a lot. Like you said, also sometimes I just put it on at random times and it always brings me back up. Like, it makes me so happy. And the thing about Revenge of the Sith, I always get reminded, like, the first time I saw it in theaters, and it's amazing. And as always, you can find me at Raul Vero RDC on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, and on TikTok at Raul Vero RDC. You can follow the podcast and SYNS Pod on Twitter. Please give us a like and a follow. Also, give us a review on Apple, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Don't be like that asshole on Apple Podcasts. And you feel it?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at MasterofPuns196. Every word starts with a capital letter. You can also follow me on Instagram at BillyBatsonsLightning. Nothing is capitalized. And once again, our Twitter is at SYNSPod. And give us a like on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever podcasts are listened to. And, oh yeah, and we're going to have a guest on for the next two.
Yes.
I swear, we're going to have a guest. Literally, this was done the last minute.
Yes. Life happens. Like this, shit happens.
Shit happens. This will literally be, we recorded this 2 days before it's going to air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never done this late. So it is cutting down to the wire.
Mm-hmm. It's for J.J. Abrams style. And it's
yes,
always.
But, I mean, if it's Revenge of the Sith, mm-hmm. it's always worth it.
Yes.
And, as always,
see you next summer. Dun, 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 do it. Dun, 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 dun.